the Disney fairy tale extended universe, you know, instead of the Marvel extended universe.
Yes.
The fairy tale extended universe. They're all, this is the Avengers, the most ambitious crossover event.
I was like, what movie are we watching right now?
I mean, nobody asked me, and nobody asked you either, but nobody asked me.
I love nostalgia. I love a montage. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Off to Broadway, the podcast where we deep dive into anything and everything musical theater from the comfort of my car. I'm Tara.
I'm Stefania.
And in today's episode, we're talking all about The Descendants. This is an early Happy Halloween to everyone that is listening on day of release.
Wait, excuse me. We're not talking about the George Clooney, Shailene Woodley Descendants? No. That's what I watched.
When you search The Descendants on IMDb, that's what comes up because there is no the in front of these three movies.
Also, what it comes up on Disney Plus when you search it because...
Oh, it's there?
The Descendants, right? Is available on Disney Plus for anyone who wants to watch it. And it's what I watch and it's what I'm prepared to talk about today. I'm prepared to talk about George Clooney and Shailene Woodley crying in the pool, okay? So yeah. If that's not what you're here to talk about, we need to stop.
I mean, I have also seen that movie, but it's been a long time.
I've never seen it. I'm kidding.
Should we address the horns in the room?
Yes, please. Who are you dressed as today, Tara?
I am, like, I don't know if people know the term Disney bounding. We've, like, never actually committed to the full Disney bound when we've been to Disney, but it's when you, like, are inspired by a character and you dress like them. So I am dressed as Mal today from Descendants, the daughter of Maleficent. Cue the horns. Purple and green is like her thing, and you are also dressed as a Descendants character. So Steph, who are you?
I am Mal's bestie, Evie, today. I've got my like kind of leather jacket. I've got my red choker. I've got my like blue eyeliner and mascara. I've got a little crown going on. I braided the hair. You know, we did our best today.
Love it. Yeah. I have to say, shout out to Dollarama because these horns were only $2 and like amazing. Everywhere else, they're above $20. So I'm very pleased with this purchase and I feel like I will wear them for Halloween's to come.
Oh, versatile. Versatile. What's the off-brand name on the packaging?
It's like villain headband or something like that. It's something like horned headband, I'm pretty sure is what it is. Yeah, amazing. It's great. But it's funny because like I am also wearing the leather jacket today and they also wear a lot of leather in this movie. Mm. It's kind of like their villain suits. They wear leather, which is fun. Yeah. And yeah, we thought we would venture into the DCOM classic Descendants 1, 2, and 3. We were both under the impression that we had seen these movies previously. I have zero recollection of any of them. So felt like a first time for me.
Yeah, I feel like they just almost permeated the culture. And so we were expecting to be very familiar. And in actuality, maybe I'd seen a total of 20 minutes of all three of these movies.
Totally. I had heard that. Songs, maybe some of the songs before.
Yeah.
But the first movie came out in 2015, and I feel like I should have watched it when it came out, but I definitely did not.
These movies do not have the same nostalgia for us the way we've talked about High School Musical before, and those movies were when we were kids, and those were formative in like a love of musicals and a love of, I don't know, and a lot of things. Whereas these ones, we were adults when they came out, so we'd have less of that connection to it. It does make sense why we didn't watch it when it came out, but we got to keep up to speed.
I will say though, the costumes from Descendants like have been super hot at all the Halloween stores for probably since 2015. You know, everyone is dressing as Mal or Evie. They have like the Jay and Carlos costumes. It's like very interesting to see, I guess, like which Disney characters kind of like pop out and make it into the Halloween costume world.
Yeah, the way that DCOMs or Disney Channel Original Movies, for people who don't know the acronym,
the slang,
the way kids like latch onto them almost sometimes more than the theatrical releases is really, I think, very cool. And the way that they kind of create a culture and an excitement around it for the kids, including Halloween costumes, merchandise. A lot of times I think, or it seems to me anyway, more than what is coming out for theatrical releases of the animated films, is very cool.
Yeah, it is super interesting. So these three movies are musicals, which is why we are talking about them today. We are also talking about these three movies because it features someone that we love, Kenny Ortega, obviously, the director, also choreographer of these three movies, obviously has a special place in our hearts from the High School Musical trilogy. To talk about Descendants as a whole, for anyone that is tuning in and does not know the storyline, it is basically the basic storyline of the Descendants is that these kids are children of villains and they're not heroes. Like, would you call them heroes?
Who, like,
what's the opposite
the
of yeah? Like, what's the opposite the of villain protagonist? In this situation?
Well, I would say there we you know on the Isle of the Lost we have all the villains, and in Auradon we have the heroes of every story and all of their descendants. And
yes,
as the next generation interacts with each other, everything changes. Chaos ensues.
I will say right off the bat, I think that the idea to have children for these characters is really smart, and there's also so many in these animated movies for the writers to pick and choose what villains they wanted to and hero kids they wanted to talk about. The four main characters, Evie, Mal, Jay, and Carlos, the villain kids, Mal, daughter of Maleficent, and Hades, randomly. We'll get
that
to that later.
later. Maleficent played by Kristen Chenoweth, of course.
She was underused. We'll also get to that later. Evie is the daughter of the evil queen from Snow White. Carlos is the son of Cruella. And Jay is the son of Jafar. And then I guess like the main hero kids is Ben is the son of Belle and Beast. Audrey is the daughter of Aurora.
I forgot that. I was watching the third movie. I was like, who is her parent? Jane, her mother is the fairy godmother. We've got Dopey's son.
Love him, Doug.
who's the other guy, the other kind of prince guy? Who's his parents?
Cinderella and Prince Charming.
Right. He's portrayed as a little like a little dumb.
Ditzy. Could not tell you his name.
Not Dopey's son. Yeah.
No. But we watched all three of these movies this week, and they all just came together.
It's one movie.
As one.
It's one giant movie.
Exactly. However, at the end of this episode, we will be ranking which Descendants movie is the best. So stay listening for that. But I guess to talk about the movies as a whole, I think just as I said, like the villain hero concept is super interesting to me. It kind of reminds me, I never watched it, but maybe I should, this series Once Upon a Time. It just feels like kind of the same. But to do this for a kid's movie, and I do think that these are kids' movies in, again, comparison
100%.
To other DCOMs. Yeah. It's a great idea. It's something fun for you to watch that animated movie and then watch one of these movies and compare and contrast who the villain kids are and the hero kids. We also forgot about, they're in the second movie, but the other three, like, main villains are Gil, Gaston's son, Harry, Hook's son, and Uma, Ursula's daughter. There's just, like, so many. And a question that my brother... the question that my brother had was, like, who are they all married to? And it's a great question.
Who did they procreate with? Who is the other parent for these?
We only know Mal's two parents. Everybody else... Oh, and I guess Ben. We know Ben.
We know Ben's two parents. We know Mal's two parents. I'm trying to think. Does anyone else have a canon spouse? Is Cruella married? Is Ursula married? Is Hook married?
I don't think so.
Gaston? Maybe Gaston's, like... His kid's mom is just like a tavern girl. I don't know.
Yes, that would make sense.
Like who they procreated with is quite unknown. The music of Descendants is very pop influenced, not so much musical theater influenced. Even though a lot of musical theater actors are in these movies, specifically someone like a Kristen Chenoweth, her song that she sings, "Evil Like Me," is the most musical theater influenced one. And I'm looking at it, it looks like Andrew Lippa wrote that. So, you know, a great composer getting a great song for her. Don't you wanna be evil like me? Don't you wanna be mean? Don't you wanna make mischief your daily routine? Well, you can spend your life attending to the poor. But when you're evil, doing I'm also looking at the other people who wrote these songs. I'm seeing like an Adam Schlesinger who wrote Did I Mention? I feel like Adam Anders, I feel like he was involved with Glee. There's a lot of composers. It's not just one composer who wrote all this music. There's a lot of composers who collaborated to put this soundtrack together. But I do think it sounds cohesive. It does have a style.
I also found there to be maybe too much rap at moments in these movies.
I mean, not to get too far forward, but when the character of Audrey starts doing a Macklemore and Ryan Lewis song, I was just...
Not actually. She doesn't actually, do that.
But just
song.
The talk singing that Macklemore does, yeah. That's what I was reminded of so much.
Okay, so in your opinion, what movie has the best songs?
Okay, the movie that the songs that stand out for me, I think, are the second movie, Descendants 2. My favorite is Chillin' Like a Villain. But even that opening number, Ways to Be Wicked, is so, so good.
Yeah. Also a fun little nod, and I think, actually, I'm not sure about the third movie, but in the first movie and the second movie, we get a bit of like the classic. So first movie gives us a little bit of Be Our Guest. Second movie gives us a little bit of Kiss the Girl. It's just like really instrumentally. It's fun to tie in the originals to some of these movies. I agree. I think that the second movie is stronger musically than the other two. I also like the song Space Between that Evie and Mal sing.
Yes.
There's like kind of drama happening and they sing this gotta go my own way-esque song with a like two of them in different places and the camera movements. It's just like very High School Musical to me and I love it. But I do like, I guess the innocence of the music in one, I would say. We both love the character Ben, who is Belle and the Beast's son.
Like, he's love him is such a great. Strong word. He's just, he's so sweet. He's so innocent, you know?
Yeah.
He's a good foil for a character like Mal, who is like struggling with being a villain or not. And he's just like, he doesn't understand not being like quote unquote good.
Yeah.
That's
a bit of a
foreign to him.
Yeah. A bit of a backstory for his character is that he chooses the villain kids to come to Auradon to give them
a dream.
Chance.
Does he have a dream? Is that what happens?
I mean, he becomes king, spoiler, at the end of the first movie. First movie. And by the time we get to the third movie, all of the villain kids get... Well, the barrier is broken down, so everyone
right, so
gets to be with everyone. But I love the scene in the first movie when he is under the love potion and he sings the song to Mal called Did I Mention, which is him basically, like, confessing his love for her. And he has a girlfriend at the time, Audrey, Aurora's
Poor
daughter.
Poor Audrey. She was done dirty, okay?
Yeah, but then she did everybody dirty, so...
She was just dumped. She spent her whole life preparing to be the queen and then unceremoniously dumped for this new girl. How dare she come in here?
You know what, though? Like, Mal has purple hair. She is kind of... like, he wanted to change her, right? Ben wanted to change her, and Audrey was, like, too easy. She didn't need to be changed. So, which is, like, kind of a terrible storyline now that I'm saying it out loud.
Well, Audrey was a little dull for Ben, I think. Ben needed some more, I guess, excitement in his life. Yeah. And then in the last movie, Audrey's like, well, if a villain is what you want, I can be a villain. Yeah. To horrible results.
Yes. I also think that the change between the three movies in terms of, like, the actors growing up and also the budget for all of them is huge. The third movie, we're getting, like, fantastic costumes, like, amazing sets. It's just, like, shot really well. I mean, spoiler, but when Cheyenne Jackson comes in as Hades with that great blue hair, you're like, okay, this is really fun. I could, like, enjoy if this movie series, like, went on for another movie. But obviously, as they do when they wrap up any Disney Channel original movie, you know, we get montage scenes, we get, like, tears at the end. It's a very big ending to the franchise.
I thought, you know, particularly with the Hades costume, the way it referenced Hades in Hercules with that blue hair with the flame of blue, referenced but didn't exactly recreate, I thought was really smart. I thought the costumes to reference those animated movies without being over the top or just being an exact replica were really, really good. Were really, really well done.
I mean, speaking of over the top, whenever Mal turned into that dragon, I was like, what movie are we watching right now?
That's the VFX that we need. The dragon.
The dragon.
And Ursula.
Yeah. Kristen Chenoweth also turns into the dragon in the first Descendants movie, which obviously she is Maleficent. Also funny to me that Disney did put out, like, live-action Maleficent with Angelina Jolie, right? So it's, like, a totally different spin on that character. One is for children, the other one is for adults. So it is funny to, like, see those two on a Disney Plus, like, beside each other. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, we get, like, a Kristen dragon, and then we get a Mal Dove Cameron dragon. And it, like, came out of nowhere. And that, I guess, happens in what we said was the most shocking moment of the second movie.
Yeah, there were moments where I'm like, how old are these characters? Because we're getting engaged at moments. We're getting given, like, promise rings. Mal is just his girlfriend of a few months, and she's being introduced as a lady of the court in preparation for her becoming queen. I'm like, whoa, we're moving very quickly. We're moving very quickly. We need to slow down this relationship. But I guess in Auradon, love is love. Like, when you know, you know.
I mean, but to think about it in terms of, like, the original movies, like, how old are any of the Disney princesses or villains?
No, crazy. Right? No, true. It's very true. It's very true. It's very unsettling when you think about it, especially as an adult, the way I am now, looking at these and being like, are they 12? Is this girl 12? Is she getting married? That's weird. Yeah. But, yeah, like, at the end of 2... when Ben is put under another love potion, really, Ben needs to carry around an antidote at all times, is what we're learning. But Ben is put under another love potion by Uma, and he just shocks everyone by giving Uma his ring instead of Mal, who he's been with the entire movie and the entire series. That was my most shocking moment.
Yeah, and then Uma, like, turns into basically Ursula in the ocean, and as I said, like, has this battle with, you know, Mal as the dragon. And then we end up at the third movie, which is kind of, as I said, like, the goodbye. What I was talking about earlier with the third movie and, like, the budget, you know, Evie lives at, like, a cottage / castle, which is great. Audrey also lives at, like, kind of a castle. Mal and Ben obviously live in, like, the Beast. I guess it's the Beast castle.
Well, it should be Ben's now. He's the king.
True. True. And then, oh no, sorry, Audrey is hanging out, which I loved, again, the nod to the originals of Flora, Fauna, and Meriwether? Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, from Sleeping Beauty, their cottage. That's where she's, like, hanging out.
Right, right.
I did like that, even though the storyline, obviously different in all three movies, there is, like, a through line to the original source material, and I think it was really smart.
It's the Disney fairy tale extended universe, you know, instead of the Marvel extended universe.
Yes.
The fairy tale extended universe. They're all, this is the Avengers. The most ambitious crossover event of all time is the Descendants. I'm bringing every movie together. Music in 3, I thought, and like choreo in 3, I thought was really good. I want to talk about a song called Night Falls, where, what are they even doing? They're breaking into something, trying to get the scepter.
They're trying to get the scepter back. They're also trying to figure out where Audrey is. Little do we know that Audrey is controlling through the scepter all of the knights that are in the room that they're in. And it's a full-on sword fight. Like, we have great choreography here during this number.
Yes, the suits of armor doing choreography and the fight choreography with, it's like Mal, it's Uma, I don't know who else is there.
All of them.
Yeah, everyone's like, there and they're just fighting. And it, I thought that was a really, really strong visual number and also like a really fun song too. Kind of, for me, maybe the strongest moment of the third movie. Yeah, the song Break This Down, which is, you know, at the end of the third movie, this is the last time I'm going to see these characters. They're breaking down the wall, breaking down barriers. You know, you're getting two factions, one from Auradon and one from the Isle of the Lost, meeting in the middle of this bridge, doing choreography together. I thought really, really fun. The choreographer of the third movie was Kenny Ortega. He choreographed all of them, but he had a co-choreographer in each one. In the third movie, his co-choreographer was Jamal Sims, and I thought that was really, really fun. In the second movie, it was Tony Testin. The first movie was Paul Becker. So a different collaborator every time.
Which I feel like you can tell that, because I think the dance styles in all three movies are pretty different.
Yeah, I agree with you. When I could have found this out, but when I saw that Paul Becker was the co-choreographer on the first movie, I was like, this filmed in Vancouver, because that's where he lives. That's where he's always at.
Yeah, just, you know, the Descendants universe is filming in Canada, which means a lot to us.
It's in our home. Everything films in Vancouver.
It's cheap, guys.
It's really cheap. It's they've got a lot of, like, nature there. It's not super, super sunny all the time, so lighting is good. It's a good place.
Yes, it's true. In the second movie, I think in comparison to the first movie, but also to relate it to the third one, is the battle scenes are much more. I'm thinking of the battle scene on the pirate ship when Uma is asking for the fairy godmother's magic wand. It's just like the fight choreography that these people had to go through, and they're on a ship and some of them are falling in water. I just feel like it was probably a blast to film that as all, like, these kids were teenage. I mean, they were all teenagers when they filmed this.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how old the oldest person is, but I assume like not that much older than us.
No, probably definitely around our age, maybe a bit younger for all of them. It looked like it was probably really fun summer camp, just three every other year going down or going up to Vancouver and filming these like intense dance numbers, which requires a lot of rehearsal. So you're there for a long time and you're working together even before you start filming. I think the camaraderie of the cast is like really, really evident. Even, I mean, like, should we talk about Cameron Boyce a little bit, who was in all three of these movies? He played Carlos, the son of Cruella. And he died a few years ago. He was only 20 years old. And just the way that the whole cast spoke about him after he died was really, really moving. And you could tell that the entire cast had become a family and, like, loved working together. And those relationships are formed in movies that you make like this, which require so much trust and collaboration between everyone.
100%. That sort of like family aspect between the cast reminds me a lot of High School Musical. Obviously, that cast, very, very good friends all the way throughout. But maybe that's to do with Kenny Ortega, you know, like he must have a good environment in his on his sets to make sure that the cast feels comfortable. I've seen a few behind the scenes videos from Descendants, mostly of like their rehearsal fight calls and choreography and all of that stuff. And same sort of thing, like everyone was so happy to be in a room together. I do want to talk about Cameron Boyce a bit, because I actually think that he is maybe the strongest character in all three movies. One, fantastic dancer. I was surprised at how great of a dancer he was as well. Great singer. And I just think the character of Carlos is interesting. And I love the fact that Carlos ends up with a best friend of a dog being the son of Cruella, who obviously we know how that story ends. So they kind of like break the mold with that storyline and have him be an animal lover and also just like the kindest, I feel, of everybody in that foursome group. He is really like rooting for each of the villain kids and is at the end of the day, like wants everybody to come over. He is part of the reason that they break the barrier for all of the villain kids to come over. So I do think that Cameron Boyce was fantastic in this movie. Someone else I love, Boo Boo Stewart. Like, we didn't get enough of Boo Boo Stewart, though.
Very underused, Boo Boo. Very underused, Boo Boo. Yeah, for me, Boo Boo Stewart is always Seth from Twilight, or whichever one he shows up in first. So to see him in other things, I'm just like, Boo Boo.
Was he not in Fox? Was it Fox that did The Grinch, or was it NBC? Yes.
Yeah, I don't know which channel it was. I want to say it was NBC.
But he was Sam, the dog?
Yes, he was the dog. Why?
Yeah, I just remember.
He was like the young dog, and then the narrator was the older dog. Remember that?
Right, yes. But yeah, Boo Boo like shows up in everything, and you don't expect it. I also feel like he's in Julie and the Phantoms, but I could be wrong on that.
Yes,
I think
he is. He's not one of the Phantoms.
He's like a skater, right?
Yeah, and he befriends someone, maybe?
Yeah. Also, another repeat Kenny Ortega actor, Cheyenne Jackson, in Julian the Phantoms. His two songs, go listen to those, because they are so fun in Julian the Phantoms. And also, I do not remember this character's name in The Princess and the Frog or in The Descendants 3, but the villain from The Princess's Frog's daughter is also in Julian the Phantom. So there is kind of like a crossover in the two universes, I guess. Obviously, Evie played by Sophia Carson, we were talking about before we jumped on here. I watched a Netflix movie with Sophia Carson where she dances, but I feel like half the movie, it's not her actual body. This is really irrelevant, but I thought everybody should know. and then obviously Mal, played by Dove Cameron. And I feel now is the time to chat about Dove. So I feel like, obviously, I think we have the same first introduction to Dove was Liv and Maddie, right?
Yeah. Yes, yeah. I would say.
Another Disney Channel show, very successful, which I feel led her to Descendants. And
yes, the relationship that you, once you have a relationship with Disney, if they like you, you will work forever. You know, they keep you in, and if they like you and if you're doing well, they'll cast you in more and more things. So she clearly benefited from that.
Yes. Also, Steph and I watched very closely the breakup of Dove Cameron and Ryan McCartan. We've seen many of those videos of like,
this is the gossip breakup podcast now.
Yes, exactly. Also, Dove dated Thomas Doherty, who is obviously Harry in The Descendants. So there's a lot of Disney Channel crossover all the time, really. But yeah, so Dove, I feel like Descendants was a huge franchise for her. Obviously, she sings in the entire, in all three movies. And I don't know for sure what her musical theater background is, if she has a true musical theater background, but she is.
Well, she started doing Liv and Maddie in 2013, so she would have been, what, 17 years old? So what kind of background can you possibly have at that age when it comes down to it? I guess,
unless she went to, like, an arts high school, but who knows?
She did community theater acting as a kid, and she moved to California when she turned 14, and started auditioning and kind of broke through. Again, she was a teenager when she started working professionally on TV, and so that was probably her big training. She did Hairspray Live between Descendants 1 and Descendants 2 in 2016, so that was kind of our first introduction to her as like an actual musical theater actress versus a Disney Channel musical actress.
Right. So the reason that we are talking about Dove is because the rumor is that Dove is, I don't know if she's been cast, but the rumor is that she will be Galinda in the Wicked movie, should this movie actually happen. But I think it actually is going to happen because we are kind of like here.
When John Chu was brought on to direct, I'm like, oh, this movie's about to happen. John Chu gets things done. He makes it happen.
So the rumor of the last, I guess, few months was that the Wicked movie is in the final audition phase for Elphaba and Galinda. Not sure about the other characters. We don't know. But the reason, well, one, I think everyone had sort of placed Dove into the character of Galinda before it was even the script had fallen into John Chu's hands. It was going to, like, it was, yes. There was talks of it being Dove and Ariana Grande potentially together. I remember those rumors, like, as a Galinda and Elphaba. But they, Dove has, well, kind of, like, stayed through.
Yes, Dove has obviously a relationship from this with Kristen Chenoweth. I believe they sang together in other...
Hairspray other Live, they did.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. And played also, mother and daughter twice. So Hairspray Live and Descendants.
And not that they were like mother and daughter, but they were just in Schmigadoon together as well. So there is a history. Yeah.
They have a relationship there. And we've seen Dove do serious musical theater. She was in Light in the Piazza a couple years ago. She played Clara... with Renee Fleming in The Light in the Piazza. So she has been working towards not even being taken more seriously, but prioritizing musical theater and musicals in her career and not just doing movies, which I think is something we would want from someone playing a lead in the Wicked movie, maybe? I don't know.
Agree.
You have opinions.
I have opinions, but also I was gonna say the other reason why we, not that it was confirmed again, because John Chu said that it was not confirmed yet, but Dove was very cryptic on Instagram stories and Twitter. Yes. But so was Renee Rapp. So yes. We're not
Dove
sure.
Dove was like posting pink flowers, being like, today is a day I've waited for my entire life. And then her mom is posting, being like, I'm so proud of my child. Like, she's worked so hard for this. And then the same day, this is all internet theorizing, but John Chu was like, really great day today. Had such a good day today. So it's hard not to like draw these lines. And then I'm reading Des Moines about Wicked casting. You know, it's...
yes, it's 100%. Crazy. I will say the Wicked casting gossip has been so fun on Twitter. Mm. It's been like a really good time. And I guess like the next day, Renee Rapp also posted a photo of herself being like, today is a really big day. And me and Steph are like, they're auditioning for Wicked. Like, she's obviously auditioning for Wicked. Like, what else could she be auditioning for? My opinions on Dove Cameron as Galinda. I think that as we had said, I feel like on our In the Heights episode, the age of these characters is very important to me. And I feel like they should, again, as you heard on our Dear Evan Hansen episode, they should match the age. The actor should match the age of the character. So
they're college students. There should be like 18 to 22, kind of.
Right. Dove is 25, 26?
Yeah, 25, 26, something like that.
Yeah. She does look quite young, I will say, in comparison to like other actors that maybe have been thrown around. I just don't think that she has the soprano chops to be Galinda, is my take.
I mean, nobody asked me, and nobody asked you either, but nobody
no
asked,
one asked
me. Nobody asked me, but I would be fine with her playing this part in the movie.
Really?
Yes, I actually would be totally fine with it. I think her voice is fine, good. They'll like sweeten it up in the recording booth. It's fine. It's a movie. It's not live on stage. And I think the persona and the acting ability for this character is there.
I do agree with the acting personality. I do think it's interesting. Again, I don't think Renee Rapp got this part, but I do think that she's an interesting person to put in there because of her acting personality. Again, do not think that her singing is a Galinda. Like, if anything, she's an Elphaba.
We're talking about two people who've played, like, notorious mean girls. Like, well, literally, Renee playing Regina George, and then Dove Cameron playing Amber Von Tussle in Hairspray. They're kind of cut from the same cloth as a Galinda, except Galinda really gets to go on a big journey in Wicked, whereas I don't think those other two characters get to go on as big a journey.
Right. I also think we already have Kristen Chenoweth's blessing for this, so it's most likely going to happen. I think, again, when I see it, I think I'll be more fine with it. I just am, like, I'm concerned for this whole movie in general. Yeah,
it's a hard one. It's a hard one. We've been talking a lot about the transition from stage to screen and the things that are acceptable on stage and the things that are acceptable on screen when you're watching them. And a lot of what happens in Wicked, I think, is very dependent on being on a stage. And I don't understand how they're going to translate to screen.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the most obvious moment, the flight, like when she flies, you as an audience member are like, yeah, she's going up in a cherry picker. You understand she's stationary. There's just like fabric like blowing in the wind, but it's magical because she's flying. But then I'm trying to picture how they do it in the movie. Is it going to be VFX? Is it, she going to be on like a broom? Like, what, how are they going to do this? And this is why I'm not a filmmaker, because I don't have the vision to get it there. But I just don't see how this is not going to look super, super cheesy.
Yeah, I mean, also in the, not on, in the same line of that, but I do think that this movie, unlike other movie musicals, is heavily dependent on the two leads. And if the two leads are not cast properly, you're already walking into kind of a disaster. I will say, obviously, Dove is the lead of Descendants, and I think that she holds her own in these movies.
Yeah, she can carry a movie.
Yeah, we are talking about Disney Channel versus, like, Universal, big time, but I don't know. It will be interesting to see what happens if she's there. Obviously, I'm going to see this movie, whoever's in it. Like, it doesn't matter. Yeah. We're going to see it, obviously, probably multiple times. But yeah, I just think that the Twitter gossip was so interesting surrounding the casting. And we had talked about this a few times now of the, like, manifestation tweets are kind of bizarre to us. Like, why put this information out there if it doesn't actually happen?
It should be a secret, guys. That should be, that's probably in the contract, confidentiality. You know, it's like when you go audition for Big Brother, don't tell people you're auditioning for Big Brother. It's not going to work out. And I feel the same way about auditions. If you're auditioning for something, that's private information. Tell your family or whatever, but you don't need to tell the public. That's
true.
Weird.
Yeah.
That's weird.
But
to
hopefully
me.
This time, around this time next year, we probably will be talking about the Wicked movie. Fingers crossed if it actually happens when it's supposed
Maybe.
To.
What if the casting gets announced between the time we record this and the time it comes out? Can you
I know, because we're recording this on the 9th.
Just
this
a week early.
Coming out literally 9 days later. Wow. When's the anniversary? The Wicked anniversary? I feel like it's around this time.
Oh, I think it's like the 28th or something. It's like end of October. End of October.
Not to make this like a Wicked movie podcast episode while we're chatting about the Descendants, but we also have a campaign for Isaac Powell to be playing Fiero. So
he sang Dancing Through Life at that Wicked concert. And I mean, go to the Sentimental Men TikTok just to watch the clip of it, because he sounds so good and he's got rhythm. And I didn't know this, but... And you read the book, so maybe you can confirm for me. But in the books, like, Fiero is not white.
Yes.
So maybe we should be moving back towards that versus casting white man after white man after white man like they do on Broadway. So, like, let's find a man of color for this role.
Again, sorry to make this Wicked like casting episode, but there was another cryptic tweet from none other than Mr. Jordan Fisher, and I feel like
I am campaigning against Jordan Fisher for this. I am a no. I'm a no on that.
I think it would work with he would work with Dove, though. I do think that they would work well together because of the height.
He just doesn't have the right energy for me. I don't know why. And that's just a personal opinion, but I am campaigning against Jordan Fisher. What can I do to make that happen?
We're campaigning for Isaac and against Jordan.
What about, I would condone Jordan as Bach. How do you feel?
Yeah, great. That works for me.
Like, I think that's a good role for him. Yeah. I think that would work out for him. Yeah. What else? Something else I wanted to talk about. So the Descendants, all three Descendants movies are musicals, and I kind of noticed a pattern that so many DCOMs and even so many Disney Channel original shows and all the Disney animated movies contain music, are musicals. Not even always musicals, but are centered around people who make music or people who are musical or
That's true.
Sing.
I didn't even think about the TV shows. Yeah.
Like, it's always so much focused around music. And I think there are, like, you know, maybe more, not sinister, but maybe more commercial ways you can think about it. It's like, okay, well, then you can sell the soundtrack. You can, like, have the songs on Spotify. You can play them on the radio. So there's another revenue stream. But it's also like, I think kids respond so much. I mean, human beings in general, but kids in general really respond so much to music and stories being told by music. And I think sometimes you like lose that as you become an adult and you're like, musicals are not cool anymore. You don't want to watch them, or I don't understand musicals. And it's like, we were all raised on musicals when you think about it, watching every single Disney animated movie. We were raised on these musicals and they were so formative in our consumption of media. And I think like having the DCOMs have so much music in them is evidence, because they're always so popular, mm-hmm. is evidence that the musical form is like a super, super powerful form of storytelling.
Well, it's interesting too, because going through the like category on Disney Plus of Halloween, you know, you've got the Halloween Towns, which honestly, if no one has seen those, go watch them. They're amazing movies. You've got like Twitches 1 and 2, again, great movies. But then you have The Three Descendants, and then you also have Zombies, which is like a newer franchise. I think the third one is filming in Toronto currently.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who did you say, Steph, was the like main lead?
Milo Manheim, Dancing with the Stars loser.
Yes. And then also,
his mom is like a Broadway actress. Anyway, go on.
Great. And EJ from High School Musical, the musical, the series, Matt Cornett, is in Zombies 3. So Zombies 1, 2, and 3 are also musical movies. Another like Halloween movie. But I do think this all, again, like leads us back to where we started. Kenny Ortega is behind lot of these projects, you know, starting as early as Newsies. He's behind all of the like musical theater that is on. I mean, I wouldn't consider like the Disney classics straight up musical theater, but at least the live action, the newer, the 2000s is all thanks to Kenny Ortega, I would say.
Well, like he really championed using music to continue to tell stories for children, doing High School Musical 1, 2, and 3, Cheetah Girls 2 and 3, Descendants 1, 2, and 3, Julie and the Phantoms, and that's in addition to, you know, he choreographed Dirty Dancing, choreographed Ferris Bueller's Day Off, choreographed and directed Newsies and Hocus Pocus. Like, these are all really great live-action Disney musical movies.
I mean, I feel like it was a year ago on our Halloween episode that we were talking about Kenny Ortega potentially directing the adaptation of Hocus Pocus for the stage. And I really hope that happens. We still have not heard anything of that since I think the announcement last year. But yeah, I think that is a good story to musicalize. I think it would be interesting. I do think that Descendants could be an interesting, not obviously musical, because I don't think it would work on stage in that way, but like concert or sort of like Disney theme park show could be fun.
Let me pitch this. Descendants on Ice. What do you think?
Yeah, I love that. I mean, Shar and I saw Disney on Ice like many years ago, that one of the finales was like the Maleficent Dragon. So yes, we're already
so
here.
Fun. Fantastic. Yeah. Amazing.
But I will say, I don't think there's any Descendants at the parks, but I do know during the Halloween parties, they do dance to the Descendants because it's like a crowd pleaser. Everyone loves it. As I said, like these movies, like people seem to really like grab onto them, and there's so much merch for all of these. Obviously the costumes, you know, all three albums are streaming. So I do think that it was like quite successful at the end of the day. The third one came out only in 2019, so not that long ago.
Yeah, it's fairly recent, fairly recent. Mm-hmm. Are we ready to rank them, Tara, from the three?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to rank these completely arbitrarily, subject to change. So from best to worst, I'm going to go, and this is overall quality of the entire movie, not the music. I'm going to go 1, because I think that concept is so strong. Then I'm going to go 3, and then I'm going to go 2. That's my ranking.
I have a different order. Again, best to worst. 3, 1, 2.
Yeah, for some reason, 2 has the best music, but is the worst one. It was very unmemorable.
I just think, as I was watching the third one, I found myself asking the question, what happened in the second movie? I had literally no idea, and I literally watched it like the day before, so yeah. I couldn't remember the storyline. I do think like adding Uma in is interesting, but kind of took away from the four characters that we really wanted to focus on. And I just,
but I loved her in that third movie.
She was great. Yeah, that's why I think 3 is my favorite, as I feel like I also chose 3 for High School Musical when we did our rankings of those ones as my favorite, because I love nostalgia, I love a montage, so I just love
that. The budget on that third one was huge. Yeah.
Yeah. None of these, I will say, did have theatrical releases. These were all straight to TV. I don't know how this would do in a theatrical release.
No, I don't think theatrical release is the place for it personally.
It was not the same height as High School Musical, obviously. Like, I just don't think it was. But in terms of, like, the streaming,
it feels younger, this one, than High School Musical for some reason.
Yes.
It feels a little more juvenile.
Yes, it's also one of those things that, like, I will go and watch all 3 High School Musicals any day of the week. I'm not sure I would rewatch these movies.
No, they're 100% meant for children and would recommend it to children. But if you're an adult like us, I don't know if you need to be seeking them out.
If you're looking in the Halloween category, just put it on and see if you enjoy it. So yeah, that's our thoughts and feelings on all 3 Descendants movies. And with that being said, it is now time for our Obsession of the Week. So this week, I feel like, is the second time this has happened in our podcast life. Steph and I have the same obsession, and I feel responsible for this obsession
because
I recommended it. And the reason that we are talking about it on this episode, it is like musical theater adjacent, I would say, because the actors in it, some of them are in the theater world, but it is not a musical. The finale of this show is airing tomorrow when this episode is released. And we're talking about Only Murders in the Building, the new show on Disney Plus, but it's also on Hulu, I want to say, if you're listening in the States. It is starring Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Selena Gomez. I love this show. I think it is so well written. Steve Martin, like, also a co-creator, I believe, on the entire series. It currently has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. And it also feels, like, relevant to this podcast because the entire premise is a podcast.
It's about making a podcast. The character I relate to is Martin Short, obviously. Who is, one, very enthusiastic about the podcast. Number two, is a kind of flopped theater director.
Yeah.
Who is trying to reclaim fame, money, whatever, through making this podcast. He's just a kindred soul, Martin Short's character and us. And I think the tone of the show is just so good. I watched a couple episodes and then I stopped. I was like, you know who would love this show? My parents. So I was stopped and started over with them. And we're 10 minutes and my mom's like, oh, I already know I'm going to like this. So it's for all ages.
Yes. So I started watching this when it was released. I think the first 2 episodes were released at the same time, and it is a weekly series, which I love, because specifically in this sense, which is like murder mystery-esque, a lot of the episodes end on a cliffhanger. And yes, you do have to wait a full week to watch the next one, which is just exciting. I recommended this to you. I recommended this to Shara. My parents are going to watch it as soon as the entire season is done and just like watch it through. But I think the storyline is just like so fun. Also, you cannot really go wrong when you cast Martin Short and Steve Martin in anything together.
A reunion, a Father of the Bride reunion.
Well, also apparently they're best friends in real life, which is great, and I didn't know. But I also think that Selena holds her own with the two of them.
Yeah, like, she's great in it.
These are legendary actors, and she just like fits right in with them, which is really fun. Also features some fun like musical theater people. You know, Nathan Lane is a big character in this show. We also have Jackie Hoffman who shows up. Like, Ali Stroker was in an episode. I mean, I think it was filmed in New York.
It was filmed in New York. Yeah.
So,
Mandy Gonzalez was there.
Oh yeah, I've heard about Mandy. Yeah,
I'm trying to think of other people who are there, but yeah. When things are filmed in New York, it's fun to watch out for theater cameos. And it looks like you know, Steve Martin is a theater cameo. He wrote Bright Star for Broadway, so he has that connection to Broadway as well. So they're all like in the world, and it's fun to watch them play.
One of my favorite episodes was when they're trying to figure out who the murderer is, and Martin Short lines everyone up as you would in a chorus line, basically, and sort of just, like, interrogates all of these people, but through a theatrical setting. It was so great.
Sting! Sting is in this. Oh, yeah, Sting! Another Sting. Musical theater composer on The Last Ship.
The Last Ship. The Last Ship. My favorite musical, The Last Ship.
Yeah, greatest thing you've ever seen.
So we are at the point where there's only two episodes left for us. As I said, at episode release, the finale is tomorrow. But we still don't know who the murderer is, which
no
is
clue.
Pretty exciting.
My dad had a theory on who the murderer was, and spoiler alert, that person is now dead. So
yes, that's true. Also, something that was really great about this series, there is a deaf character in the show, and one of the episodes was fully silent and told through subtitles, but also sign language. Mm-hmm. What an amazing piece of television. I just think they're doing everything right on mm-hmm. this show, and it's really fun to see. Also, Tina Fey, isn't it? Another
right. Tina Fey forgot. Yeah. Musical theater writer. The actor who plays Theo is deaf in real life, so representation in his character. And watching even Nathan Lane use ASL to communicate in the show is really very, very cool. I think they're using, doing really interesting things with the visual and the audio language of the show.
Yeah. Also, I would say Nathan Lane, pretty much also a star of this series. He is great. His character is fantastic. It's just a lot of fun. I highly recommend it. So if you are looking for a new TV show to binge watch, go watch Only Murders in the Building. As I said, streaming on Disney Plus, or if you were listening in the States, I believe it's Hulu. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure it's Hulu. That wraps up our obsessions and also our thoughts and feelings on Descendants. Before we wrap up this episode, because we are in spooky season, Halloween is very shortly approaching, we do want to talk about something that is coming back, and I'm so excited that it's coming back, and that is the streamed concert version of Ghost Quartet, brought to you by Crow's Theater. This is streaming. It's the exact same concert as last year, if you happen to watch it last year. It is streaming on October 29th to the 31st. All tickets are $20. Steph and I both watched this last year. It is so good. We also, of course, talked about it because we saw it in person a couple years ago. Nothing ever beats the version of Hero from this show. It is needs to be heard if no one has ever heard it. That is streaming October 29th to the 31st, just in time for Halloween. As well, if anyone is in the States and in the New York area, 54 Below is doing some really fun Halloween stuff. On the 31st, there is an Into the Sweeney Todd's Woods concert, as well as a Nightmare Before Christmas Halloween Spooktacular, so that's super fun.
And if you're in Toronto, The Medley, which is a dinner theater in the Yonge and Eglinton area, is doing Rocky Horror. So, you know, with the end of the pandemic comes the return of dinner theater. So I'm excited to to direct more and more people there. Can't wait to get to that venue to see some stuff. And Rocky Horror is, of course, a Halloween classic.
We've never been to a dinner theater, so I would love to eventually venture into the dinner theater world, because I think it would be so fun.
I can't wait to go to this dinner theater. It's not too far from home. It's it'll be fun, I'm really sure.
The other dinner theater that I'm dying to go to is a murder mystery, because I think it would be amazing.
Well, of course. Yeah. We'll have to see what other shows that the Medley puts on, because I think mm-hmm. it's a fairly new venue. So I'm very excited to see what they do.
Exciting to bring new spaces into the city. That's always great news. That's exciting. As we said, this episode is recorded a bit earlier in the month, so I'm sure there's lots of Halloween events. And if there's anything that is happening in the Toronto area, we will, of course, let our followers know on our social media. And if you want to follow us, you can do that at Off to Be Right Podcast. That's with the number 2.
And you can listen to us anywhere podcasts are found, including Apple Podcasts, where we'd love if you leave a rating and a review. And you can even watch our podcasts on YouTube. And we'd love it if you would subscribe there and leave us a comment.
And we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.